Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. I am your host, Sean Hayes, and this is episode 277. After taking a little break for Thanksgiving, we are back. We are going to talk once again about World of Warcraft Dragonflight, since that is now out. As well as, we've got a couple news items this week. Some entertainment news, some gaming news. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, if you're in the U.S. and partake. As well as a reminder that... I believe the day after Thanksgiving is Native American Heritage Day in the United States. So just something else to keep in mind. Since Thanksgiving's a bit of a loaded holiday these days. Just trying to get back into the swing of things. And I have a special announcement for Questlog this week. So very excited to talk about that. So why don't we get right into it? Because I'm very excited to talk about Dragonflight. So let's talk about this week's news. Okay, so first up, so this one, unfortunately, it's only going to be relevant if you're watching this live or listening to the audio version the day it releases on December 1st. But Star Wars Squadrons, the acclaimed dogfighting game, is currently free on the Epic Games Store through December 1st. I would highly recommend to go pick it up. As although I have not played it myself, it was pretty widely acclaimed and well reviewed when it came out. And if you can get it for free, that is even better, folks. It's even enough to unfortunately have to also load the EA launcher on your machine. So it is currently free on the Epic Games Store through December 1st. So unfortunately, if you are listening to this after December 1st, you missed your chance, unfortunately. It's like a 1 week sort of flash sale type thing that Epic does. Go pick it up. And if you're watching live, go do it right now. Go do it right now and then come back later. Okay. Next up, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, despite a lot of glaring performance issues, the two games are Nintendo's fastest selling games of all time, selling 10 million units in 3 days. I have not picked up Pokemon Scarlet or Violet myself. I have decided that if I am gifted them, I will graciously accept them and play them. But I don't think I'm going to buy them myself. Just because of a lot of the sort of QA and optimization problems that are in there. What I am hearing is that it's sort of a duality with these games, where a lot of the improvements and a lot of the systems in the games make it a very fun experience, while at the same time, a lot of the technical problems with the games make them a mess. So it kind of depends on what you're willing to live with. It basically has a lot of the same technical issues that like Legends Arceus had, but dialed up. I think you know, a lot of the hype gets overblown because it's Pokemon, you know, as if people forgot, you know, about the fact that, like, Skyrim to this day is still pretty buggy and has problems. And that is, like, one of the best selling games of all time, you know, across all platforms that it's been on since it keeps getting re-released. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, if you don't mind sort of processing issues and frame rate problems and occasional pop-in issues and just weird, you know, visual bugs that appear, you know, then it's great. You know, otherwise, you know, maybe hold off on it. I mean, I think it continues to point to the fact that Game Freak is just kind of in over their head at this point with Pokemon. And something needs to be done to give them some help, you know. Is I think they need outside help, because I don't think they can keep up the pace. And I don't think they made the transition to 3D very well. So, you know, if they can find another developer, you know, to help work on other systems, you know, I mean, what's silly is, you know, unfortunately, is that, really what would benefit them the best is having Monolith take over environment and world design, you know, and then getting actual QA and optimization testers in there. You know, Monolith at this point, they want to focus on their own stuff, and they're too busy providing Nintendo proper on their games. So, but that said, I mean, you know, from what I hear, it's basically, folks are having a really good time with these games, and it's just whether you can stomach sort of the technical problems to go along with it. And most folks seem to be able to. Hence, it's selling at record-breaking numbers. So, yeah, 10 million units in 3 days for the launch. So, yeah. That includes physical and digital. So that is total sales. And that's that, those figures came from Nintendo. So, yeah. Yeah. Another, and that makes it Pokemon's biggest launch ever. So, there you go. Next up, Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special has been released on Disney Plus. I did watch this. It's cute. You know, it's a cute little, it's a Christmas special, as it's entirely centered around Christmas. So I don't know why you would like kind of do the pan, like, I don't quite know if it really counts as virtue signaling for calling it a holiday special when it's very clearly about Christmas. Like, Christmas is the only holiday mentioned. So usually you call something a holiday thing if it's actually going to be non-denominational. And this one's very much not. That's a minor quibble. But it's a Christmas special. It's cute. I mean, it is PG-13. Mostly due to language. But it's a fun little thing of just trying to give Peter Quill Christmas, since Christmas was ruined for him many years ago. I think, you know, it's like a 1 hour type deal. So it's, you know, more of a standard holiday special fare, and it's not like a full length feature film, but I thought it was great. And so, you know, I hope we see more stuff like this, of just like little one-off type things, that, you know, don't necessarily have to be like, we're gonna do a full-length movie or, you know, an 8-episode TV series or something like that. Just my two cents. They do make a mention to a DC character. And I won't say anything, like, I don't want to spoil it, so I won't say anything else about that. But I wanted to mention that because now it's the second time that Marvel has name-dropped DC characters in their films. And I think that's continuing to be an interesting trend of like an acknowledgement of certain characters just being in the public consciousness. And like for Marvel to basically come out and say like, oh yeah, no, like these are still a thing in our universe, as entertainment. And so yeah, like people know about it. It's really funny in that regard. And I hope to see more of it, like an acknowledgement of like actual cultural touchstones as opposed to just like sort of weird pop culture fads. So yeah. As I said, it's on Disney Plus right now. Go check it out. I believe it was directed by James Gunn, so it has, you know, all of that humor in there. Very funny. I thought anyway. So, and last up, we did get another official trailer for the Super Mario Brothers movie. And you know, once again, Chris Pratt as Mario. I don't know if I'm really feeling it. Like there were a couple moments in the trailer when I was like, oh, it's finally getting into the spirit of it. But like for the most part, you know, I think there could have been better casting there. However, all of the other voice talent doing a great job. You know, I was, you know, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, kind of a weird take, but no, I think at least from what we saw in this trailer, everything looks, you know, pretty good. Anna Taylor-Joy as Princess Peach, great job thus far. And what we saw in the trailer, it looks like they're gonna be doing a lot of like doing a Mario level. Some like and making it make sense narratively in the film, which I think is really interesting. And I think that is doing something weird like that is a risk to take. And I think it's a risk worth taking, when you're gonna try and translate something like Super Mario to the big screen, instead of doing something like the film that we don't talk about. But yeah, I'm super pumped. There were a lot of cameos, especially like in the Donkey Kong section. So it seems like they put in like every member of the Kong clan. Like and in the Nintendo revealed a bunch of like posters for the film that showcase each of the characters. And in Donkey Kong's, like you can see they've got Diddy Kong, they've got Dixie Kong, they've got Swanky Kong, who we saw in Donkey Kong Country 2, and then we never saw again, I don't believe. So who knows? If we see King K. Rool in this film, I'm gonna lose it, guys. I'm gonna lose it. So yeah, I don't, you know, I think I would very much like to go see this film, despite Chris Pratt voicing Mario. because I think this is going to be a case where the rest of the cast's performance might hold his up. But also, I really kind of just want like a Bowser film with Jack Black. Like, I want some sort of King of the Koopa film with all sorts of minions, like his minions and Koopalings and stuff. He does such a great job. So yeah, very excited. That trailer did its job of building hype, I think. So yeah, very excited for that. All right. We're going to switch gears and do our deep dive, where I'm going to talk about World of Warcraft Dragonflight, which released on November 28th, released on Monday. And here we go. All right, so I have been kind of following what's been going on at Blizzard and kind of keeping an ear on people who are a lot more in tune and engaged with the development team and just how things are over there. You know, and aside from the overall Activision Blizzard trend of like being doing unions kind of dirty, and unionization attempts, it seems like the work culture there has improved and is making improvements. And so ultimately, I was comfortable making the decision to resub and get Dragonflight. And therefore, I am able to provide a gameplay review of this expansion. What this is, for those who are not familiar, or might be, you know, culturally aware of World of Warcraft, this is the latest expansion. Where we're coming from is we just ventured through sort of the realms of the dead, and defeated basically a big old death master type guy who is trying to unmake the universe and remake it as a realm, as an entire multiverse of dead realms, where he's in charge. And you know, we come back, we take a break like we do after every expansion, you know, some time passes, and basically some elementals are starting, elementals and elemental proto dragons have come back and are raising trouble in the Dragon Isles, which is where all the dragons in the world are from. So that is what leads us into the content of this expansion. So a couple things right off the bat. The graphic quality, I don't know if it's necessarily improved much since the last expansion, but it's more of that, like, Warcraft goes in sort of these big jumps. But, I mean, that said, like, Shadowlands was pretty good, you know, like, a lot of the models and environments and everything looked pretty decent. You know, there might be some arguments about color palette choices. But, I mean, the environments look great from what I've seen so far. I will say I've only been sort of 1.5 zones in, so I haven't seen all of them. I have seen a couple ones on streams and stuff. But the environments look great. First zone... I love the color palette choices. I'm a big sucker for like earth tones with like bluish greens, and it just delivered. And it's got punctuations of like volcanic activity and lava flows and stuff. So it also adds this nice contrast of reds and oranges, through the region. So environment, fantastic. A lot of new creatures and critters. A lot of them very dragon oriented. But the main highlights are the professions rework, dragon riding, which is a whole new separate system from just like riding a flying mount. Drakthyr, which is the new player option, and the Evoker class, which is sort of intrinsically tied to Drakthyr, which are basically dragonborn. You know, if you're familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, they are humanoid dragon people. They have wings. They also have tails, which is something that canonically standard dragonborn in Dungeons and Dragons do not have for some reason. But talents being added back to classes. So, couple things, you know, talents being added. You know, I don't know if it really changed. Like, when you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, it really doesn't change anything. It just gives people the nice little dopamine rush of like, you get a point to put somewhere and you're able to put points and things. But ultimately, like, it didn't really introduce anything new. It was just a new way of reacquiring the abilities that you had before. So yeah, talent trees is not that exciting to me. You know, I kind of miss a bunch of like the older talents, you know, back from like Burning Crusade and Wrath of the Lich King, especially for like my hunter, or how abilities worked. But that said, it gives you more customization for things. You know, so if people are going to do weird builds, they can do that. You know, but for me, it didn't really change a whole lot. You know, and I'm not really getting anything new out of the gameplay wise for that. But that's fine. You know, honestly, with how much time takes, you know, with how much time is in between expansions, you know, in a case if I take breaks and stuff, I often appreciate the fact that not a whole lot changes gameplay wise. So that way I can come back to it and then be like, and not get lost trying to play a character. So talent trees, you know, I don't think it's super exciting, you know, now that I've gotten into it. But I know for a lot of folks, they're very excited for that granularity of being able to put points here and there and try stuff out. I do like the fact that you can change it on the fly. So they kept that from the previous system. And you can freely like adjust points without having to go back to a vendor or something. So that's nice. That's a nice quality of life improvement. Dragon riding. I think dragon riding is one of the biggest systems that's going to be in this expansion. It is fantastic. It is so much fun. And really, like, it's not that complicated. Like, it's not that revolutionary. The way it works is you get a proto dragon, which are basically like prehistoric dragons. They look much more like some sort of primordial pterosaur-like dragon that have, you know, they've got little T-Rex arms in the front and big wings, and sort of, I don't know, just instead of like what you think of as like a traditional dragon snout and mouth and everything, it's just more like crocodilian. And just to give it a more primordial look to it. We saw them in Wrath of the Lich King. So we've seen them like a couple, many expansions ago. But they're at the forefront now because they're sort of like the progenitors of dragonkind. And now there's sort of this dichotomy between these progenitors of dragons who are very much tied to like the elemental energies of the world, which is also something that D&D does that sort of runs with that concept. And the idea being that like they turned into dragons when the Titans, who are basically spacefaring, you know, deities, we could call them, that like basically impose order on worlds, and like shape worlds and like basically keep them in check. So it's very much, it's a very fourth edition D&D thing of like the deities, you know, impose order and keep the world structured and everything. And then like elementals are opposed to that. And they want to just like unmake stuff and like keep it in a raw elemental churning stew. So you get a proto dragon that then becomes like your primary mount. So like when you mount up, like you just mount up on that dragon. And then you get like all of your skills and actions are replaced with special dragon ones for like flying and like gaining altitude, and eventually like doing barrel rolls and stuff. And as you, you know, fly through the air, is you can only fly a certain distance before basically your dragon gets tired. And you either have to use an ability to like get you to keep going, or you have to basically like dive to pick up speed, and then like you'll be able to shoot back up. So incorporating sort of flight speed and altitude mechanics, you know, really sort of changes the gameplay around that, because like currently flying mounts are just, you just have full three-dimensional movement. And it doesn't really have any effect on, you know, the environment doesn't really have any effect on what you do with that. Whereas with this, it really feels a lot more like actual flying. And my hope is, I hope they keep this. You know, I would love to see this implemented for all flying. Like, I would love for this system to become the system for flying mounts going forward. I think, and it makes it much more dynamic. It makes it a lot more fun and engaging, as opposed to just, oh, mount up, you know, and just treating it like swimming. or just zero G movement. Because they wanted it to be featured in the expansion, this means that you get a specialized flying mount right away. So now it also means that Blizzard heads off all of the, basically people asking for when's flying coming, because you just get it from the get-go. And they have systems built in to help progress both, the cosmetics of your dragon. So you can, there's like a weird, like transforming ring station. And you're able to like pick up different features of your dragon mount, and then you can bring it back to this station and then basically customize how your dragon looks as you collect new appearances over time. So it can be, you know, customize like the shape of your dragon's horns or its chin spikes or its tail, eventually color. And things like that. And then you can also collect like these glyphs that are out in the world by doing like flying challenges. You know, they're usually in like very challenging places to get to while flying. And by doing that, those essentially function as like talent points for upgrading your dragon's flight abilities. That one is a little less exciting because like it's a very linear path. Like it's not a full on tree like your character's abilities are. So it almost makes me wonder like why bother represent it in like a very vertical sort of tree like pattern if it's just going to be one singular branch. And part of the introduction to dragon flying is there's like a bunch of race courses around the first, you know, and a little bit of the second zone, that there's a quest where they have you go do each one, and like they have different tiers, and you get like better rewards for, you know, how well you do. in each of those race courses. So very engaging. It's a lot of fun. Also, if you're mounted up on this dragon, because if you fall, like you just float because you can glide, it means that you can negate falling damage. So boom, there we go. The only problem is you can't do it mid flight, or you can't do it mid fall, unfortunately. So, you know, you're a bit out of luck there. Professions, loving the new profession system. This is a case where, I have to say, this is like one of the few times where, like, when you look at systems of capitalism were actually working and doing what they're supposed to do to benefit the consumer, very clearly inspired from Final Fantasy XIV, which is easily Warcraft's biggest competitor. And it might be the, I mean, I don't think it's a very hot take to say that Final Fantasy XIV might be, you know, is possibly more popular, or likely more popular than World of Warcraft. Yeah, anybody that's played Final Fantasy XIV will look at the new WoW profession system and go like, oh, yeah, they clearly took stuff from here. So now there's like profession gear that gives you stats that aren't your combat stats, but are stats related to professions. So there's like deftness, which relates to basically your gathering speed. And as you like get more points in deftness, like how quickly you can gather resources. Like that, you know, you get faster and faster at doing that. Because it's like a cast bar when you collect herbs or, you know, mine ore and stuff. And so you can just do it faster. Or when you're crafting, there's a multi-craft stat. And that's the higher it is, the higher chance you have of like crafting an additional item when you craft. So I like that. I like there's now specializations within professions that all sort of do their own stuff. And the way you get points to put in those specializations is just by doing the profession. So like, you know, my main character is a leather worker and a skinner. So I get, you know, essentially talent points to put into skinning by skinning, you know, by going out and collecting hides and leather and scales and stuff like that. And then eventually when I unlock leatherworking, it's by making gear, and by making stuff. And I think that's great. I like the thought of being rewarded for doing professions. And it feels like they're really working to make professions matter, which I think is great. There's built-in ways for upgrading gear that you've already made, which is fantastic. It means that I don't have to keep remaking the same stuff over and over again. I can, you know, like make myself one set of gear and then improve it, which is nice, instead of having to like bring it to something to like bring it to a recycler to get the materials, like get some portion of the materials back in order to recraft it again with like slightly different components. So yeah. And like you have different tiers of materials now, which can influence the quality of gear that you make, which in turn, like, you know, better quality gear gives you better stats or gives you better stuff related to it. I haven't gotten a chance to do the work order system yet, which is basically people can put out work orders to crafters who can then fulfill them, in which they get paid, I presume. But I'm looking forward to that. Like, it will feel really nice to have professions be relevant and not just have it be tied to, well, I gotta just sit on the auction house all day in order to make any money in this game. Like in order to make any gold in this game, I got to sit by the and play the auction house. Hopefully now it'll be that you can actually like get gold for crafting gear. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that. The other portions of the game are kind of what I really like to mess around with. And so very excited for the crafting and gathering changes. Story-wise, there's so much, like, I don't know if this was stuff that just was already in the works, you know, before a lot of the team change-ups and a lot of, you know, the firings that occurred with all of the terrible people. But my hope is that if they were able to get rid of a lot of those terrible people, my hope is that those people were holding the team back from doing like really cool things. Because this expansion it feels like a much greater level of detail in conversations with NPCs than we've had before. Like it feels like almost every, you know, either quest relevant NPC or just, we'll call them every relevant NPC. You know, they might be a profession trainer or they might just be a vendor or something. Feels like they have some sort of dialogue option, you know, and many times it doesn't matter to the story. You know, it doesn't matter to the gameplay or whatever. Like there's one NPC where like you do a couple quests with them, but it's like, they'll give you frog facts because they have a bunch of quests related to catching a bunch of frogs. And like they're real frog facts. So, you know, it's really neat. And like, there's another quest where, there's a bunch of quests where you just like, and it's not a new concept, but of just, you know, there are two orcs, you know, one's a very, you know, elderly orc warrior. And there's a younger one who basically they came to the Isles to help out. It seems like you have one last hurrah for this warrior. And he's in a lot of pain. And the quest is like, you just go walk with them, you know, when you hear their stories. And you go and basically like get some medicine for him. And it's, basically the stories are basically this warrior processing a bunch of trauma, that is relevant to the main storyline, concerning dragons. And you know, it kind of highlights, there's a lot of trauma that happens in the world of Warcraft, and there hasn't really been, like, there's been snippets here and there, particularly with like orc storylines of like processing that, but I don't know if it's been done on a scale that they've done with this expansion thus far, you know, and not just like NPCs, but also like relating to the characters, like to your character. There's another quest where you just sit and you listen to this NPC talk, you know, and tell stories and reminisce, and has a prompt that changes based on your character. You know, basically relating to trauma. And, you know, normally, like, they've done a couple different things before of, like, you know, custom reactions and things like that. I don't know if they've done anything, you know, occasionally like things of, you know, changing like a variable that, you know, is like your class or something, in dialogue, but I don't know if they've done anything to that degree of coming up with like different examples and stuff to relate to, namely your character's race. So, you know, if your character's a blood elf or a night elf or an orc or a troll, or a gnome, but, yeah, it feels like a lot more detail. And that's something that I appreciate, you know, it makes the world feel a bit more alive, when interacting with NPCs. So, I mean, my hope is, certainly my hope is that it feels, this expansion feels like a breath of fresh air and revitalization. And my hope is that is reflective of the work culture improving at Blizzard. I would love to see things continue to get better. And as a result, things continue to get better with the games. I mean, specifically World of Warcraft, because that was the one that was in the lawsuit. In the ongoing lawsuit. So we're not done with that. But, so yeah. I'm having a blast. I know there is currently, so until November 2nd, there is currently an event going on right now, like a thing with Twitch, where there's like a whole list of participating streamers. I'm not on that list, mind you, where that have drops enabled. So if you watch 4 hours of content from those streamers with drops enabled, so from that list, basically when they're live, you are able to get like a special mount. And if you gift 2 subs on any participating streamer's stream, so you got to gift them, you can't just sub to their stream. There's like a special little like scarecrow. They're called Harvest Reapers in the game. They're like little machine bots that are supposed to go around and like help, you know, harvest wheat and stuff. Doesn't make any sense as to how that would work, but like a little combat battle pet for their little Pokemon knockoff that's in the game. So yeah, I mean, I still got a ways to go. You know, I haven't done any dungeons yet aside from there's like a special Ulduman dungeon variant that you could do in the pre-patch update. I did that one. And that was, you know, that was fun. But I haven't done any of the ones that are specific to the expansion yet. So I can't speak to that experience. And obviously I don't think any raids are open yet. And I probably won't do any of them. So I can't speak to that. Cause I'm a pretty sort of casual, just going out and doing the open world, collecting pets and fishing and that sort of stuff at this point. But yeah, questing feels pretty fluid. XP, gaining XP quite a bit. I mean, if you do every quest that's available to you, I think I hit 65, level 65 out of 70. And I'm just leaving the first zone out of 5 zones, I believe it is. So yeah, you know, I'm having a blast. It's a lot of fun. It, you know, it feels like the opposite of what Shadowlands was. you know, and to a certain extent, Battle for Azeroth too. Like those just felt very heavy, and it felt like there was a lot of drudgery in there, especially Shadowlands. Like the Maw as a zone. Just, I mean, you know, I don't know if it was intended to feel like the worst experience, because like in universe, it's intended to be like, it's supposed to be like, if you go to the Maw, like if your soul is sent to the Maw in the afterlife, like it doesn't come out. Like that is eternal punishment. So the fact that it was such, like, everybody hated to go there for gameplay reasons. Like I guess it reinforces the lore, but it doesn't make for great gameplay. This is like the antithesis of that, where it's like it's just fun to just go fly around and not do anything. Right? There's been so many things of just like little cliff ledges where it's like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, there was a whole thing of like dire ravens up here. Like, I didn't know those were going to be in this expansion. Haven't seen them anywhere else. It's just like on this one little cliff ledge. And so it kind of reinforces the magic of exploring in an open world, in an open world game. And having the freedom to do that with like a very engaging movement mechanic. So, yeah, all in all, I'm really enjoying it. You know, obviously, a lot of folks have very different feelings about World of Warcraft at this point. So, you know, I'm not going to say you all should try it, you know, especially since like it's also still subscription based and this and that, but it's pretty fun. You know, I would say I would say this, if you're on the fence, you already have a character that's ready to go and you already have an account that you've, you know, just lapsed or whatever, and you've got like a boatload of gold sitting around, you know, maybe buy yourself a WoW token with gold and get yourself a month of game time and try it out. I'd say that, you know, very, very low risk barrier to entry on that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I'll stream it, you know, and show it off. Because at the very least, it's dragon riding, which I think is also, given that the Dragonlance books come out very soon for D&D, very timely. or they're already out if you bought the physical bundle. So yeah. I give it a tentative 2 thumbs up thus far. And I haven't even unlocked all the features yet. Like at some point, so my character's a hunter, and at some point, I get the ability to tame dragons. So, very excited for that. Oh yeah, and the Drakthir and Evokers. Yeah, they're fun. You know, I'm at the point where like I've got one of every class, and it's just like, oh well, this is neat for the novelty of it. Like I'm not gonna switch off of Hunter for my main class, but it was neat to make a dragon character. They've got some interesting abilities going on. One of the things that they have that hasn't been done in Warcraft before is they have an ability where you press down the button and you charge it up, and then you let go after you've charged it up to a certain level. And as you charge it up to certain levels, it gets more and more powerful. So that's interesting. Instead of like spamming and button mashing and stuff, like it forces you to slow down a little bit and actually, you know, figure stuff out. Very mobile type class. Like they get the same sort of movement mechanic that the dragon riding mount has. And my only wish is that they remove but they put it on like a cooldown And I wish that they would remove the cooldown if you have flying mounts unlocked for that region. Because it's like, I want to use that ability, but, I mean, if there's a cooldown for it, then I'm not going to do it and just use my flying mount instead. So, yeah, and all of the abilities are dragon themed, which is why like that class is locked to the Drakthyr. It's meant to sort of be like an extension of their draconic abilities. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of customization options for that character archetype. So if that's what you're into, the only thing I don't like is, so when you're in battle, it's like Worgen, who are like werewolf type characters, where when you're in battle, so you have two forms. You have like a visage form, which is like a regular humanoid where all your armor shows up. And then you have your dragon, you know, your Drakthyr form, where it's, you look like the humanoid dragon with the wings and everything, but like your armor doesn't show up on that character, on that form. And instead you have like armor options that appear in character customization. And so I wish they would just let you, I wish they would just show the armor on that character. Because I had a really cool getup that would look super cool and awesome on the dragon, you know, the Drakthyr form, but I can't do it. You know, and instead I have to play around with, you know, a meager offering of options. So, yeah. That's going to wrap things up for WoW Dragonflight. So as I, you know, if you're a fan of Warcraft, you know, and you don't necessarily want to play, go check out some streams. There's a way to do that, or YouTube videos or whatever that talk about stuff. I mean, it's great. I'm really excited to see where the story goes, because it looks like it's going to be focused on the dragons regaining their powers and how that works in the story. And face off against like prehistoric dragon beasts versus, you know, the powerful guardians of the world dragons. So that is going to wrap things up for our deep dive on World of Warcraft Dragonflight. So now we're going to switch gears for Questlog. All right. So my goal for last episode was to make enough comics for a 3-week buffer. That did not happen. There was a whole bunch of stuff that happened to get ready for Thanksgiving, and then we were away for Thanksgiving. So that's still the goal. However, what I did do, and one of the things that I wanted to get done was do. For audio listeners, I am holding up a copy, an advanced proof copy of 8-Bit Adventures, Welcome to Pumpkin Ridge, which is a book. It's a physical book that contains chapter one of my webcomic series. And it's got 100 comics. As well as, you know, so some artwork in the back that I thought, you know, might be fun for people. You know, it goes way back to, like, you know, basically when I was switching things over from 8-Bit to 8-Bit Adventures. You know, just kind of give an idea of where this comic has come since then. So, yeah. I'm super pumped. Pre-orders are available right now. If you go to my website and click on the shop link, it's in there. Or I believe 8bitadventures.square.site has the link, is the shop link for that. So, pre-orders available right now. There'll be pre-orders will be live until December 12th. So basically if you would like to get a copy of the book and not pay shipping, give a pre-order. Because I'll be doing one big batch order. And then I'll just, you know, get people books as they go. I mean, if I got to ship it out to you after the fact, then yes, you know, there'll be, you know, a small shipping fee, but like it'll be whatever the cost is, as opposed to the cost from getting it from the printer and then out. Because it's a print on demand service, which means that if you don't get it through the pre-order, and you decide to do it as a one-off later, the price is going to go up to also accommodate for the shipping price, for it to come to me. So, but yeah, so very exciting. I did my goal. I achieved my goal, of not just getting a book done and getting a book out and available for sale, but doing it this fall. It took right down to the last minute, but, yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very, very grateful, to be able to do that. And, yeah. So, but yeah, so next up is trying to get back on track with comics. Again, I don't know if we still have, our schedule is not conducive for me to do a Saturday morning comic stream currently. But the goal is to try and get comics and get back on track and do that so that there's a steady flow of content going back up on the site. You know, and it might have to wait until after the holidays, but to get back to doing a Sunday night Stardew stream. And then who knows, maybe doing some Warcraft streaming. I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore. But yeah, what I do know that we're going to do is we're going to end the show, because that wraps things up. Thank you all for listening, whether you're watching live or you're listening to the audio version. If you would like to see more stuff from 8-Bit Adventures, check out the website, 8-BitAdventures.com. If you'd like to help support that content, the best way to do that is either to buy merch or to become a patron over at patreon.com/8BitAdventures. Becoming a patron helps support the comic, the podcasts, all three of them, as well as sort of all the other small projects that I do. I just have the one to support everything instead of breaking it out piece by piece. Big shout out and thank you to all of the current patrons. Thank you for your support. It is through your support that the book has been made possible, and for me to be able to order copies. So, like, order proof copies. So yeah, so thank you for that. Finally, our opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can check out his work over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. And with that, we are done. So, as always, folks, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake. Go buy my book.